Join me on a dialogue on sisterhood, womanhood, and all things parenting. Welcome to the Debina Bonnerjee Show. Joining us today is Gayatri Shivaram, a healer and manifestation coach, whose story is one of resilience, transformation, and the unwavering belief that anyone can rewrite the narrative of their life, no matter where they start. From healing past traumas and breaking through mental blocks to completely rewriting her life, Gayatri has become a guiding light for thousands, helping them turn their dreams into reality. Get ready to uncover the secrets to transforming your life, starting from wherever you are today. So, chaliye, let's get started. Hi, Gayatri. Thank you for coming to the Debina Bonnerjee Show. I am so grateful that you made some time out of your really, really busy schedule and come here all the way from Chennai.
Debina, thank you so much for having me here. I still remember the first call that we had when we were discussing about the podcast. I did tell you that I get a lot of requests from different people to appear on the podcast, but the intention with which you came, I mean, with the fame that you have, with all of that you've accomplished, you could have done anything. But your intention was truly to make sure people get more information on healing, to understand the power that they have, especially for mothers, right? I mean, that truly moved me. And thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you so much for understanding the right thing. Because, you know, as an actor, I had always connected with people. But when I came out with the my personality came across, when I started talking to my audience about my life's situation, I connected on another level.
Yes.
And that's when I felt that everybody suffers in their own capacity.
Yes.
So if I have the potential to reach n number of audience with a solution, then why not?
Absolutely.
And with that motivation, this podcast was born. Actually, and that's why I wanted, to get people who would motivate the people, who would heal the people, who would listen to my podcast would get enriched in some way or the other. So that is why is today's podcast. I'm sure people would get their answers in so many levels. So let's get started.
No, I'm excited.
So the first question is this. Holistic therapy.
Yeah.
It sounds very fascinating.
Yeah.
How did you start with it? I mean, how did it start with you?
Okay. So I think if I have to get back into this journey, it started 12 years ago because I was just like any other person, especially because of the childhood that I had and because of the kind of upbringing that I had. I went through a lot of trauma with respect to having an emotionally unavailable father and a very dysfunctional family. So for the longest time, I used to hold a lot of grudge against my family, saying it's because of you that I'm the way that I am right now. Only to understand that they were always doing their best in their own capacity. And all that I was put through since when I was a child was actually preparing me for what I am today. So that was like now. So I do understand a lot of people when they're going through a lot of stress, when they're going through a lot of trauma, it's very difficult for them to see the blessing in it.
Yeah, I hear a lot of kids, young adults,
yeah,
blaming their family every
yeah
time.
Yeah.
And, always telling that I'm like this because of you.
Yes.
I am not able to do this because of you.
Yeah.
And I am, traumatized because of you. I am, whichever, they blame everything of theirs to their family.
Yes.
While when you look at it from a distance, you somehow feel that the family is doing the best in their own capacity.
Absolutely.
But we have this habit of, pointing out to our parents that you have got us into
yes
this earth,
yes,
so you have to
yes
do what we want you
to
do.
Yes.
And that want sometimes is vast and wide.
Yes, that's true. Because always we think about things from the level of awareness that we have right now. If you actually take a look at our parents' generation, the kind of brought up that they had and the kind of awareness that they had was very little compared to what we have right now. I was also one among them who used to constantly blame my family for everything that I was put through in the process. But what we need to understand is universe makes no mistakes. It absolutely makes no mistakes. Any challenge you're going through right now, any rejection or anything that is kind of making you feel like, why the hell is this happening to me? I will guarantee when you actually go ahead in time, like a couple of years from now, and look back, this could have been the best thing that could have happened to you for you to change. Because maximum growth happens only during support and challenge. But unfortunately, all that we seek for is only support. We just pray saying, I want this, I want that, I want this, only for the good things. But the maximum growth happens only when we are challenged. And when we are only given support, since when we were children, we become very juvenile. When I say we become very juvenile, we become very dependent on somebody else to solve our problems for us. And also, when we are put through a lot of adversity, I mean, take a look at all the friends that you have. I mean, this is even for the viewers. Take a look at all the friends that you have and all the peers that you have in your life. Children who went through a lot of adversity while growing up, they're very resilient right now. Children who were pampered a lot while growing up, they find it really difficult to face the world and the real life problems right now. So every adversity was, is, and always will be a blessing for you.
How wonderful. This reminded me of a statement by Michael Jackson when he said, I mean, he had a very tough childhood. Yeah. His father used to be very, very strict yeah. for his learning and all. And all that the world sees is a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Can you explain a little bit the concept of manifestation?
Yes.
To someone who believes that hard work karenge to sab kuch ho jayega. What is this manifestation?
Right.
Like, there are very practical people living here who just says that, you know, it's mehnat karo. Manifestation, if we want to explain to them, what would that be?
So now a lot of people, thanks to social media, there's a lot of awareness. There's a lot of misinformation about manifestation also. What we need to understand is, if I'm going to take a pen or a water bottle and just drop it, it's going to fall down because it's law of gravity. If Gayatri believes in law of gravity, if Gayatri does not believe in law of gravity, it doesn't matter. The bottle is going to fall down because this is the law of the universe. Mm. Similarly, manifestation is also science. So most people would have gotten exposed to this entire idea of law of attraction, manifestation through the book The Secret, right?
Yes.
It was brilliantly written and brilliantly marketed. But one disadvantage of the book was it did not truly talk in depth about how manifestation actually works. It spoke very beautifully about law of attraction, which is think about things, just visualize things and you'll have it in your life. Missing the key element in that, take inspired action. So Rhonda Byrne, the same author, after she went through multiple spiritual awakenings, she wrote another book called The Greatest Secret, which was released 17 years after the book The Secret. This is my recommendation to all the people who are watching. Please read the book. This book talks about the concept of law of vibration in detail. It talks about something called law of alignment. So law of alignment is nothing but when your thoughts, your words, your actions and your feelings are aligned, the universe is going to give you whatever you ask for. Let me give you an example. Let's say I take a rod, an iron rod with me. And the iron rod has specific qualities and specific properties. Okay, not an iron rod. Let's say I'm taking a magnet. It has specific qualities and specific attributes to it. Now, that magnet has an inherent quality to attract certain specific iron fillings towards it, right? That is based on the property of the magnet. We are also the same magnet. Depending on what thoughts we have, depending on what beliefs we have, depending on what trauma and emotions are stuck in our body, we attract things, people, situations and circumstances towards us. Which means that is why a lot of people misunderstand manifestation as wishful thinking. It is not wishful thinking. It is about you having a clear North Star as to this is what I want to achieve in my life. And you becoming a person, when I say becoming a person, only when you become that person, you become a vibrational match. What do I mean by a vibrational match? When my thoughts, for example, let's say for me to achieve X amount of money is my goal at this point of time. When my thoughts are aligned to it, when my actions are aligned to it, when my feelings are aligned to it, and when my words are aligned to it, I become a vibrational match to that. And most people, what they misunderstand is if I'm going to sit here, think about it, it's naturally going to come into my life. It does not work like that. So the minute you or I have an intention about what my life is going to look like, the universe is orchestrating things to give that to you. But you know what the missing piece is? Us getting up and putting that inspired action in it. there are two kinds of action. One is an action that is more of, I want to hustle, I want to work hard, I want to work hard, which is great. But when you align this with respect to what I want, and when you align with action taking, that is, you truly love what you do, you're never going to get exhausted in the process. So the missing piece for all the people who work hard, for example, let's say the people who are working hard, they have a belief system that says, no matter how hard I work, I'm not really going to become successful in life. They will never become successful in life because your reality is a reflection of the dominant thought and dominant belief that you have. So the entire world on the outside is a reflection of what is going on the inside. So if you want to change the external world that you are in right now, no point standing in front of the mirror and screaming at the mirror saying, hey, I don't like what I'm seeing there. The only way you can change what you're seeing in the mirror is by changing yourself. That is a missing piece for manifestation.
So changing yourself is important.
Changing yourself is the only way you see. For example, there's something called identity shift. My current reality is a reflection of what my core beliefs are and what my dominant thoughts are. If I want to change the reality, which means I have to change. How I think about it has to change. My vibration has to change. I need to embody the qualities. That's why they beautifully say, you will never have $1 million with you before becoming a $1 million person. It starts here. You will only see it when you believe it. Most people come from the misconception of, I will see it, then I will believe it. It doesn't work like that.
You have to believe in it, you will be able to see it.
Absolutely.
Also, the way you said, change yourself.
Yeah.
Changing yourself, not only I feel mentally, sometimes you need to physically also change yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, there are people who, you know, write in their book that I want to be, say, X amount of weight tomorrow. I want to get married tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even though we believe in body positivity, even though we believe in, you know, accepting the way I am, unless you accept yourself, nobody will.
Yes.
But there is also this understanding that, yes, you know, understanding the fact that what is going to lead me towards that.
Yes.
Everybody understands, maybe that person is understanding, I have to do this in the process, but not writing it also every day, but not putting it into action.
Yeah.
So what would you say? I mean, how do you make yourself understand that you have to put yourself into action? And maybe that person is trying to do one or two days and getting back again into, you know, not following the exercise routine or not eating the right thing, understanding but yet not able to do
it. Yeah. So there are two things to this. The first one is, all of us have something called the high priority values. For example, your life pretty much dictates your high priority values. For example, for me, running my business, doing all of the work that I'm doing right now is one of my top priorities. My health is not my top priority. So if I'm going to look at somebody, let's say I'm looking at you, and I'm going to be like so inspired saying, oh my God, she's so fit, she's so beautiful, I want to become like her someday, which is what most people look at, all these idealistic people, and they're like, I want to become like that someday. But that is not their intrinsic value. So every day you tell me, Gayatri, you've got to sit and study, you've got to sit and research for 12 hours, you've got to sit and work with clients for 12 hours, I will do it. But you ask me, Gayatri, you have to go to the gym, the first 2-3 days I'll have that motivation because it's an extrinsic motivation. After 2-3 days, I give up on it because it is not a motivation that is coming from within. If you take a look at your life, all of us, without any motivation or without any push, will be able to do 2 or 3 things in our life, which is truly what our highest priority values are. So the easiest way to change this is, most people take the reverse mechanism, which is, if I want to become fit, the first thing I'm going to do is order all these amazing gears from online, sign up for a gym, sign up with a nutritionist and start working out. You will not sustain for more than a week because it is not an identity that you have. But rather, if you see a lot of people, even if they're on a vacation, they'll be able to eat right, they'll be able to work out right, because they've identified themselves in their mind and in their body, they identify themselves as a healthy person. Here, most people make this mistake of, even casually when you're having a conversation, people say things like, oh, I'm a procrastinator, I'm a pro-procrastinator. The more you say that, no matter how hard you try to finish something that you start, you will never do that, because that is your identity. Your identity dictates your behavior. So the easiest way to change this is, so now all human beings are selfish. Let's understand that all human beings are selfish. We only do things that has a hidden advantage for us. Even emotional eating has a hidden advantage for us, which means I'm feeling surplus of emotions in my body, which I don't know how to process it at this point of time. It's getting extremely uncomfortable. So let me binge on something to kind of suppress the emotion I'm feeling at that point of time. So similarly, now what I have to trick my brain into believing is what I'm going to stack up all the advantages of what it would feel like when I become healthy. And you link it to your top priority values. I'll give you an example. My top priority value in life is the work that I do. So now if I have to become fit and healthy, how do I make my brain work for me when I'm not working for me? I'm going to sit down and tell my brain, what are the advantages of me being fit and healthy that will benefit my top priority value? So when I'm fit and healthy, I get to travel more, I get to impact more people, I can stand on the stage for 10 to 12 hours, I can take sessions for 15 hours because I'm healthy. So the more you give advantages based on what your top priority values are. And for some people, top priority values being a great mother, right? So think about it, when you become super fit and healthy, what are the advantages that you can have so that you can be a great mother in the process? This is called value linking. So the more you start to stack up the benefits and link it with your top priority value, it starts to become your identity. You don't need any extrinsic motivation. You're intrinsically motivated towards doing that.
How wonderfully explained. Absolutely. Sometimes, especially moms,
yes.
They say, they in fact write down to me that, you know, my priority is my children.
Yes.
So I do not have time to, you know, visit the gym because that is, you know, taking extra time and being selfish and whatever. Even though, you know, I say that sometimes you have to be selfish, sometimes, you know, taking care of one's health is a priority, but actually prioritizing it though on the basis of our real priority at that moment is. And that is why I think actors are always fit.
Yes.
Because that is their priority is to look good,
yes.
Look fit.
Yes.
So they are always fit.
Yes.
Even like a 40-50 year old actor would not look their age because that's their priority to look the way they look.
Yes.
But for others, their life's priority is different.
Yeah.
So when they actually think about being fitness as a part of being more efficient in the work that they are doing, that would help.
Absolutely. Whatever is a top priority for you, whatever habit you want to embark on, you connect it with that and give your brain enough number of reasons as to why this is going to benefit that, it'll start to become an intrinsic value for you. And after a point of time, you'll start to embody that. That is why I say thoughts are the language of your brain, thoughts are the language of your mind, and emotions are the language of your body. After a point of time, your body has gotten used to the emotions of feeling a specific way. For example, let's say there are a lot of people, before they go to sleep, they're like, okay, today I'm just going to have this piece of cake. I'm going to sleep tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock. I'm going to wake up, do yoga, do gym, do multiple other things. The first thing that they do in the morning is snooze the alarm and they go off to sleep. The reason why they do is the body is addicted to the feeling of guilt. Now, the body is going to send signals to the brain saying, hey, you come up with multiple things and don't end up doing it because I am used to this feeling because familiarity is one the subconscious mind wants. None of us want to be in a circumstance that is unfamiliar for us because a part of our brain is so scared to be in unfamiliar situations because it thinks it's going to die. So it always wants to get back into familiarity. The easiest way for you to break any habit is to break the addiction the body has to a specific feeling. So if you're used to procrastinating, so there are a lot of people who start something, they don't finish it. Or there are a lot of people who, when there is a deadline, 2-3 hours before the deadline, they sit and work. When you've done this for enough number of times, what starts to happen is your body knows this emotion than what your brain can comprehend. Now, no matter how many hours you have, you'll end up waiting for those 2-3 hours to go ahead and do this because that is the only emotion you know. You don't know the emotion of starting it early, finishing it and staying relaxed through the day. So you have to break your body's addiction to that and you have to unmemorize the body's feeling addiction to that. That can only happen by consistently taking action, by consistently repeating something, because in the neurochemistry, right? Because there's a concept called the Hebb's law. whatever you keep repeating multiple number of times, it starts to become your reality. And your subconscious mind is like a computer hard disk. Whatever data you give it inside, it's not going to analyze if it is right or wrong. You repeatedly give it data, it is going to understand this is what we have to process. So that is why when you start doing affirmations, sometimes people say, Gayatri, it's so robotic for me to do affirmations. I don't feel those emotions. You're not going to feel those emotions instantly. Because think about it. You have a monster inside of you that constantly says, hey, I'm not good enough. And all of a sudden, one morning, you start waking up and you say, I'm good enough, I'm good enough, I'm good enough. It's like a small puppy. So now you have to starve this monster, not feed this monster, and feed the puppy so that this can start overtaking this. So anything, for it to become effortless, you have to put in effort. Till anything becomes effortless, start putting in effort. Consistent effort, then it becomes your second nature.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, anything. If you are trying to dance, the first day you would feel that your body is not moving.
Absolutely.
And then you consistently do it, do it, do it. And one day you realize you are doing it effortlessly.
Yes.
Wow, so beautiful. Sometimes I also feel that in somebody's life, I feel there's a block. They want something, like they really, really want something, but it is just not happening. So how do they overcome this block?
Okay.
If it is a mental block, because it's a mental block. That is because they are going on seeing boys after boys after boys,
yes,
after boys,
yes,
and just not liking any,
yeah,
or some quality in somebody, and eventually, you know, later on in life thinking, oh, that was good. Absolutely confused.
Yes.
I somehow feel that it's a block that somebody needs to, you know, open.
Yes. So I'll talk to you about this both with respect to desires and goals people have, and one is with respect to relationships. When it comes to goals, people have two kinds of desires or goals. The first one is coming from a space of ego. The second one is coming from a space of your true soul's purpose. So anytime you chase a goal to fulfill a void inside of you, it's coming from a space of ego. Let me tell you this. For example, let's say while growing up, I had a neighbor who constantly bullied me for the kind of an upbringing or a financial status that I had. So my entire life's mission is to become a millionaire and to make sure that I break the nose of that particular neighbor. So I work really hard. I hustle. I do everything. I become a millionaire, which means I have accomplished what I want. But still, I don't feel fulfilled on the inside because it is not a goal or a desire that is coming from a space of your true spirit. It is coming from a space of, I want to prove something to someone. I don't feel good enough. So if I have this, I'll start to feel worthy about me. All of these things. So anytime, whenever you have goals, whenever people have goals, I ask them to do this. Sit with your goals and ask yourself, what is the intention behind this goal? So most of the times people start to change their goals because the intention is always about, I don't feel good enough. If I get this, I'll feel worthy. And while growing up, most of us, somehow we wanted the validation of our parents. If we did not grow up in a healthy environment while growing up, we tend to become people pleasers after a point of time. Because we feel only when I please another person, only when I do what another person wants out of me, I will feel loved or I will be worthy. It stems from the root cause of, I don't feel worthy just the way I am. I am going to go out of my way, be a doormat to people to walk all over me so that I will get that love, affection and attention that I did not get while I was growing up. This is number one. And second thing, what we need to understand is the true goals or desires that you have on the inside that is stemming from your soul's purpose. I would like to say this. Everybody in this world is a born genius. We were born a genius and we were born for a specific purpose. Think about it. We are one huge rock of ball that is floating in space. How can any of our life be by accident? Which means we chose our families. We chose the kind of circumstances that we will go through. So I comically say this like this. When Debina was born, even before she was incarnated here, her life is like a video game. Okay, she decided how she's going to start and how she's going to end the video game, which means in her own video game, there are multiple levels. In level 10, Debina has to jump a big hurdle. So in order for her to jump a big hurdle, her legs have to be really strong. So what she has decided and curated for her life is, in level 3, 4 and 5, she's created small hurdles. So every time she jumps third, legs become strong. fourth, stronger, and fifth becomes strongest. So now she's capable of jumping the 10th one. That is how our lives are designed. So every time you need to understand when you have a desire, if you have this constant voice at the back of your mind saying, I'm here for something big, I'm definitely here for something big, listen to it. Because any vision that we have or any dream that we have in life, we have that because our future self is already living that. If you watch the movie The Interstellar, it's the best way that somebody could have conceptualized. One is black hole, the other one is the dimension of time, which means your future self is constantly communicating with you. And science is still catching up, right? There are so many concepts in the world that science is still catching up. So anytime you have a vision of you living an abundant life holistically in all areas of your life, and your heart is constantly telling you, hey, listen, don't give up, don't give up. Who do you think is talking to you? It's your future self constantly communicating with you saying, hey, don't give up. Because when you don't give up right now, you're going to live that life. And when I said that, right, you are a part of a big jigsaw puzzle. So for example, the podcast that you're doing right now, this will have answers to a lot of other people's questions that they have. You never know whose life you're going to touch. So you are the piece of the jigsaw puzzle. When you live your life's purpose, you're not just benefiting yourself, you're benefiting millions of other people's lives also. So when you are of use to other people, the universe will be of use to you. So that's why I say different people might have different purpose. For somebody, being a mother could be their life's purpose. I think my mother's life's purpose was to be a great mother, to raise me the way I am right now. I think that was her life's purpose. My life's purpose is different. What most people confuse is because now the entire terminology of success is just one. Make a lot of money, become famous, that is success. Success is very subjective. And unfortunately, because we're consuming this idea of success as just one thing, we're kind of forgetting what gifts we came here with. When you live your life with the gifts that you've come here with, the universe will always reward you. So that is why I say when you have goals, ask yourself if it is coming from a deep desire of, I want to be of some service or some help to the world, or is it coming because I want just this money, just this? Because when you start living your life's purpose, you'll start to see how beautifully you start to become abundant in health, wealth, the kind of people that you attract in life and everything about your life.
I think during the lockdown, yeah, we kind of self-introspected, all of us. We realized that money is not the whole and soul of our life. It's living a healthy life, yes, having your family around, be safe, secure. I mean, we all rethought,
yes,
our life, yes, in a different way.
Yeah.
And every time we must, you know, take a pause and think our life's purpose,
yes,
and not imitate others.
Yes, absolutely. And like you brought in money, right? Money is a beautiful energy. Money is an absolutely beautiful energy because it helps you live the experiences of beautiful abundance in this world. But what people need to understand is money is only a byproduct of the person that you become in the process. Money is not the main product. The more you start chasing money, the more you feel burnout. The more you start chasing excellence, the more you start chasing you becoming your best version, money becomes a byproduct to it.
So follow your journey, honestly.
Yes, yes.
Money is a byproduct. Yes. Like, be honest to your craft. That's money
it.
Will follow.
That's it. Just give your 100%. And also, one of the reasons why people put other people or other people's profession on a pedestal is simply because people are jealous of where you are, but people are not jealous of how you got here. Because the entire journey, nobody knows your journey. People know, oh my God, she's doing a podcast, she's done so many shows, she's done this. They love what you do, they want to be like you. But do people actually know the journey? No. So anytime you're infatuated with somebody, just do this little exercise with yourself. Sit with yourself and ask yourself, what are you infatuated about in this particular person or this particular situation? You'll start to understand that you're very conscious of all the positives that they have, but you're very unconscious of all the negatives that they have. When you start doing this activity, you'll start to realize that everybody is just the same. Somebody who you're aspiring to be like or somebody who you are inspired by is a reflection to you. The universe is trying to tell you, hey, this is what you can also do with your life.
So this is kind of an answer to a lot of people who write to me. When I read this message yesterday, somebody said that she's moved to Mumbai. She wants to become an actor.
Okay.
And now she's working in some other space around. You know, there are lots of space around acting, you know, behind production, here, there. And she still aspires to become an actor, and she was wanting a way out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has happened with me many, 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 many times when people have seen the now me,
mm-hmm.
and they have felt that, yes, when I can, they can too. Yes, of course, I also started from a nowhere.
Yes.
So, what do you think should I be telling them? Like, you are the right person to answer, because at that moment, she's motivated enough to leave her town and make that huge shift, which is also not very easy.
Yes.
And also sustaining herself in doing various work,
right,
but not getting the right break.
Right.
How to, you know, keep the head steady, still working towards it, not losing the dream, and, you know, how to just reach there where she wants to.
Right. If it is truly a desire, sometimes we have to make the irrational moves. If you take a look at my life, most of the decisions that I've made that has gotten me to wherever I am here right now are the decisions that I took from a space of my heart. Because I somehow knew this was the right thing, even if for the external world it felt like, Gayatri, this is the most irrational decision for you to be making at this point of time. If they're honestly passionate about what they want to do, and if they genuinely have their heart in there, they just have to believe in it and start working towards it. Because sometimes it takes decades for that results to show up. But if you truly love something for so long, you will 100% become successful. There is no two ways to it. If your love for that passion, if your love for doing the work, and also what I would like to tell people is, never be addicted to the destination. Because it's something called the destination addiction, that people think they will feel the most happiest when they hit the destination of where they want to get. That's a myth. The gratification is in the process. Every day when you're becoming better, every day when you're putting in that work. I'll give you my own example. My Instagram journey is what has given me whatever I have today, majorly, because that is the only way I started reaching out to more people. So the first time when I started doing posts, in the first 10 posts, I think we hit 10K. My husband came and asked me, Gayatri, how do you feel? I said, yeah, it feels good. This is surreal. I feel good. In the next 20 days, we hit 100K. My husband asked me, and I was like, I don't feel anything different. And again, when I hit a million, I told the same thing. It is only coming from a space of, all my best moments were not when I hit the numbers. All my best moments were when I was getting messages from people. All my best moments were when I was sitting and conceptualizing something so that I can put it out in a precise way as videos, as content pieces out there. So the gratification is in the process. If you miss out on enjoying the process, you will never enjoy the destination also. So that is something I would like for you to tell them. Even the journey of the motherhood, right? All of these moments, you're never going to get back. Whatever you're going through right now, you're never going to get back. And people have this entire notion of, I have to be the best mother. What do I do? How many classes do I enroll my children in? My only suggestion for people is, if you have to be a best parent, become your best version. Your children are constantly looking at you. When you become the most authentic version of you, when you don't wear a facade, when you don't tell them, hey, mom is always amazing, always great. We're not always amazing. We're not always great. When we tell them it's okay to be vulnerable, it's okay to be authentic, that is what they will learn. Because in the world right now, a lot of people have facades and masks simply because they believe they will be loved only with the mask that they have on. And the world is promoting that. But when you start teaching your children, by you leading as an example, I will be the most authentic version of myself no matter what, the child is going to learn from you. And when you give your best every single day, the child is going to learn from you. And when you start appreciating the children, not for the output of what they do, but for the efforts of what they do, you're training the child to give their 100% no matter what. So you are a living example for how your children's life can be. So this entire mom's guilt of so many classes to enroll, but at home I'm feeling so depressed, I'm not able to handle my own emotions. When you start processing all of this and start practicing all of this, your child is going to start learning from you.
My God, how beautiful. So every time when, you know, a reporter would ask me, tell us about your struggle stories and all. I every time I should look back and say that, you know, I do not look back any at any struggle because I felt I enjoyed the process. There was no, I don't feel a single day that I've struggled.
Yeah.
Like literally, I have enjoyed the process. The days that I did not have work, I used to feel that, okay, fine, this is my time to, you know, invest on myself, on working myself out, being the best version of myself, learn a new craft, do some more classes, you know, whichever way, I mean, on my capacity financially.
Yeah.
And I never felt that I had a very bad patch. Even when I was staying on rent or did not have money, that was also, I felt it's an adventure.
Yes.
And so I think, yeah, yes. I mean, you should focus on the journey because where you reach, you'll feel that, okay, fine, you have reached. Now, from here, where to?
Exactly.
And then again, one more journey starts. Yes. So enjoy the whole process.
Yes.
And the motherhood also, yes, again, I feel enriched here because we are always trying to do a lot. Show our children that the moms can do everything.
Yeah.
And that's how we are burdening them with to be a person who would be everything.
Yes.
And then in that process, they are we are only, you know, putting in a lot of baggage in their head that you can do everything like the way, you know, I can do. Tell them that, okay, fine, I can't do everything.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's how human beings are.
Yeah, and another thing is, what a divine process it is for a mother to bring a soul into this world. So that in itself is such a beautiful process. There is nothing to feel guilty about in this. If you're not able to work for 6 months, 1 year, so what? There is no hurry. There is no race here. All of us are on our own journeys, right? There is no start point, there is no end point. We came here with something, we have to get to a point which is only relative to us. We don't have to compete with everybody. We don't have to think, oh, this parent is doing so much, this parent is doing so much. It's not important for us. What's truly important for us is, what can I do with the time that I have, the best things that I can do with my child? Where I also take care of myself, and unfortunately, especially our parents' generation, mothers were like, what would I say, praised for sacrificing things, right? I mean, when she sacrificed something, oh my God, your mother sacrificed so much. No, you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, why mothers have become an epitome of sacrifice.
Absolutely.
If a mom is not sacrificing, then something it is termed as a bad mom.
Yes, yes.
But we have to change that whole concept.
Absolutely. See, there are so many working mothers right now. I think at every point in time, every mother is doing her best to give the best possible things for her child. The only problem comes when she's trying to compare her journey with somebody else's journey. Nobody went through the story that you went through. Nobody had the complications that you had. Nobody has the trauma that you have. So don't compare your story with somebody else. And now I've been seeing this trend of people, because a lot of actors have started working immediately after their motherhood, which is amazing. They're creating a benchmark for the society, which is amazing. But for regular people, don't try to compare your lives with their lives, because they might have a lot of help. You might not have all of that. With your journey, what you have, do your best and be content with that.
And everybody is different.
Everybody is different, absolutely, yeah.
So beautiful. I want to know a little still again. I still feel that I have not gotten my that answer. I feel that there are people who are two situations, I'll put. A person who wants to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mental blockage somewhere, maybe that is the reason it is not happening.
Okay.
Then there is a person who wants to get married, and again, I mean, they want to get married, that is true.
Yes.
But then they are not getting the right person. I mean, even though they have seen 200 people in the process.
Yes.
Do you think it, and they are always, because I have seen people telling me that, you know, this is a different generation. It's not like the like your generation. Boys were different then. Boys are different now. And then I also see other people who are getting married, who are getting good boys. But is there something in your mind where you are not attracting the right person, or you are kind of, you have kind of blocked yourself?
So your reality is basically a feedback. So which means if you have belief system that constantly says, I am not good enough, this is not on a conscious level, this is on a very subconscious level. I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy of commitment, I'm not worthy of a great relationship. If you already have such beliefs, no matter how many men or women you meet in your life, you're not going to find a partner who's willing to commit to you. I see a lot of people with two kinds of attachment styles. One is the anxious attachment style, one is the avoidant attachment style. Anxious attachment style is the style where, for example, in a relationship, the partner always wants a solution immediately. If the other partner is not calling them or texting them, they're messaging them 100 times, they're calling them like 50 times, they're being so anxious about everything because inside of them, they're not able to take the space because this space reminds them of some kind of an abandonment that they went through. So it's very scary for them. On the other side, there is avoidant people who don't like confrontation, who don't want to sit down and resolve an issue. If there is an issue that is going on, the only thing that they want to do is pack the bags, go to the gym, go for a run. They want to avoid it at any cost. Both of these are unhealthy styles. So mostly, an anxious person is always going to attract an avoidant person. So there is something called secure attachment. Secure attachment is when I know in my being, I'm amazing, I love myself. I know I have my flaws, but that does not make me any less compared to anybody else. You're going to attract another person who's going to treat you the same way, who's going to prioritize you. When I told you, we started by saying the external reality is only a reflection, right? If you find a partner who's emotionally unavailable to you, if you find a partner who kind of abandons you in the process, it is the universe trying to tell you, what about yourself are you abandoning inside of you? What about yourself? Are you being emotionally unavailable to yourself? The day in my own journey, right? I've been in 4 different relationships before I got married. And all the relationships, for the longest time, I used to believe they were the toxic people in the relationship. Only to understand I was equally toxic in the relationship. When I say I was equally toxic, when the other person took advantage of me, I let the other person take advantage of me because I never loved myself enough. I thought the more I struggled, the more I tried to make the other person fall in love with me, the more I did things, they will fall in love with me. It was only an indication of how little I loved myself in the process. So now, the day all of this started to change was the day I started to understand, okay, my relationships are not working because of something inside of me. Something inside of Gayatri is not letting the relationships work. That is when I went on a complete healing journey of 3.5 months, working on myself every night, having a panic attack, every night crying, surrendering my emotions and working on myself, falling in love with myself. The way life started to change, once I finished the healing journey, in less than a month, I met my now husband. In less than 5-6 months, we got married. It's been 2 years now since we got married. For the longest time, I used to have the beliefs that, why would anybody want to get married to me because I come from a dysfunctional family? Why would anybody want to get married to me because I am not good enough? On the outside, I had this very confident front. That's why I say putting up a facade is a lot of burden. I had to come across as a person who's extremely confident while deep inside I was feeling like shit. So now, for anybody who wants to find a partner, who's been on dating apps or who's like trying to find partners different ways, they're not finding a partner, it's got nothing to do with the world on the outside. It's got to do with the beliefs that you have about yourself on the inside. And unfortunately, a lot of people, no matter how good they look, right? Because a lot of models, a lot of actors, when I do one-on-one coaching with them, I start to understand they might be the prettiest that you see according to the society standards, but deep inside they feel like they're not good enough. They feel like, Gayatri, I don't bring anything to the table. One of the easiest ways for you to change this is sit down and ask yourself, what about me is amazing? Then you start to change the narrative in your mind saying, for someone to be a part of my life, they have to be lucky. It does not come from a space of arrogance. It comes from a space of, I love myself in a relationship and so I'm such a beautiful person, I'm such a giving person, I'm such a loving person. So somebody who's a part of my life, they have to be lucky. But mostly what people think when they are in a relationship where they don't feel good enough about themselves is they feel like the other person is doing them a favor and they put them on a pedestal. Anytime you put somebody on a pedestal, what does that mean? You're looking up to the person, the other person is looking down on you, and the dynamics in a relationship starts to change. The only solution for you to develop a healthy relationship or attract the partner of your dreams, the soulmate of your life, is to truly come from a space where you love yourself. you have to come face to face with all of the emotions that you've suppressed on the inside, saying, I don't like this about myself. I am not good enough in these areas. What are you ashamed of? All of that, bring it to the surface. Start embracing them. Start accepting yourself for who you are, the color that you have, whatever body shape that you have. When you truly come from that space, you'll start to realize everybody who walks into your life will accept you for who you are.
I'm asking again a very random question, maybe. If somebody is accepted in the sense, they say it, mm-hmm. you know, I am like this, you know, look, what yeah. is wrong? I'm fat, I'm like this. Whatever. They talk their flaws
yes.
out.
Yes.
And yet they are in a situation like this. So
the only thing is for them to start working. See, now you got to see your external reality. Your external reality is always showing to you, it's giving you feedback. If on the outside everything is amazing, it's giving you feedback that you are in alignment. On the outside things are not working out for you, it is giving you a feedback that you're out of alignment. So the universe's only job, see, why do you think we attract people in our lives who kind of show to us what our innermost beliefs are? Because we can't see it for ourselves. So when somebody comes into your life, they treat you in a specific way, how you don't want to be treated. Ask yourself, what inside of me could have possibly attracted this? Level one, the first step is always becoming self-aware. See your reality, ask yourself, what about me needs to change right now? Most of the times you'll go dive deep inside to understand you don't love yourself. And the more you tell yourself, saying, I am fat, I am thin, I am this color, I am that color, people won't like me, expect the same thing in your life. The first level, become aware of it. Second thing, ask yourself where these are coming from. Who are you trying to compare yourself with? Or who compared you with who while you were growing up? As children, when you're constantly compared, you grow up to become an adult who's constantly criticizing yourself. You're like, something is wrong with me. Everything is working out for everybody. You would have done 100 amazing things in your life. You would have just missed out on 2 things, but your constant attention is only on those 2 things. Because as a child, the only thing you know is to compare yourself with somebody else and tell yourself you're not good enough.
How beautiful. Is there a course or something where, I mean, people who are clueless to identify what they are exactly going through or aligning yourself? So I just want to know.
Okay, all right. So when I talk about working on yourself, it's a lifelong journey. The first step is to understand what about your life is working out, what about your life is not working out. Make a list of all the things that is not working out for you in your life. Once you make a list of all of those things, sit with yourself and ask yourself, what are my dominant beliefs that I could possibly have with respect to, for example, let's say somebody has money, somebody is making really good money, but for some reason they're really not able to sustain that money in their life. They need to sit and understand what beliefs that they have about money. I'll give you a small story. So there was this one boy who grew up in a village, okay? In the village, his dad was a zamindar, extremely wealthy family. And all of his relatives and all of his family members used to come visit his dad and somehow started to take advantage of his dad because of his influence that he had and because of the money that he had. Because of this, the parents used to fight a lot in between. He grew up seeing all of this, and after some time, he moved into the city and he started earning. He joined a beautiful company, he started earning. After a few months, he started to realize that no matter how much money he makes, he's really not able to save the money or invest the money anywhere. Either he spends it off on things that he does not want, or there is a medical expense that comes out of nowhere and he ends up spending it. One day when he was having a conversation with his friend, he was randomly chatting and the friend asked, what's happening? He was like, dude, no matter how much I earn, I'm not able to like keep the money with me. He was like, why do you think so? That time he unconsciously said, oh, if I have a lot of money, then people will take advantage of me. So while growing up, when he saw his father being taken advantage of because he was wealthy and he was influential, that was a belief in his mind saying, I don't want people to take advantage of me. If I don't want people to take advantage of me, which means I will not be wealthy in my life. This is a belief that is constantly running his life. No matter how many opportunities that he sees, he's not going to work on it. He's going to constantly procrastinate all of that because the minute he becomes rich, people will take advantage. I will never want to be taken advantage of. So now you need to ask yourself, all the procrastination, all the coping mechanisms that we have served a specific purpose for us at some point of time. Now it does not serve the purpose. But until we go there, now he needs to start reaffirming the fact that I know how to set boundaries. People will not take advantage of me. Money is an amazing energy. I deserve to be wealthy. When this becomes his core belief right now, then he'll start to see the opportunities to become a wealthy person.
Oh my God. So everything is right inside of our mind.
Absolutely.
So I'm coming back to the same question again. Maybe I did not get that answer. That there are so many people around me of different age group, some in their 20s, some in their 30s, some in their 40s.
Right.
And all of them have apparently, at least what I see, I get to see is they are keenly interested in getting married.
Right.
So they are on dating apps or seeing different people, boys or girls. But they are just not finding the right person.
Right.
So can there be an explanation to it?
Yes. See, most people on a very conscious level want to be in a committed relationship. But on a very unconscious or a subconscious level, they might be very scared of commitment. We don't know where that is coming from. Because for different people, it is coming from different places. Probably they saw their parents be in a committed relationship which did not work out for them. They kept saying this and they're so scared of commitment right now, assuming that they might repeat the same thing in their life. But on a conscious level, because everybody around them is committed, everybody around them seems to be happy for them, they're like, I want to be in a relationship. But deep inside, they feel like, I don't want commitment. Is extremely scary. It could also stem from the fear. It could also stem from a space that they are not willing to commit to themselves in the first place. So when you understand, for example, I know my life is so important for me. I know these are the things I'm supposed to be doing in order for me to get to wherever I want. But if I don't commit to myself, then people are going to come into my life and they're not going to commit to me also. When you stay committed to yourself, you make yourself your first priority, you will naturally attract people in your life who will make you their first priority. We also spoke about the anxious and the avoidant style, right? I'll give you another example. The same person can be both anxious and avoidant. For example, if I am the person, there is a person who loves me, who adores me, and who's always willing to take care of me at the cost of themselves, which means I see them draw no boundaries with me. They're going all over the place to do things for me. I will become an avoidant person with them. And the person who's running away from me, who's not giving me the attention, who's not giving me the love, I become an anxious person with them because this is the pull and the push. This is the chase thing that you're attracted to. So you are not attracted to the chase. The trauma inside of you is attracted to the chase. When Gayatri does not believe she's deserving of love, when somebody gives her so much love, it's so scary for her because she feels like this is too good to be true. But when someone is running away from her, she's like, oh, this is what I'm familiar with. I'm going to run behind you, go out of my way to do multiple things so that you fall in love with me, so that I understand I'm worthy of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah?
This is such a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And I always felt it comes from the fact that somebody is giving you attention. So you take it for granted.
No.
And when somebody's not giving you attention, you just want that attention.
You ask yourself, why do you want their attention? Them giving their attention is a form of validation for your own self-worth. Very confident and people who have extremely high self-worth will never seek for any validation. Because all the validation they give to themselves. And you find those people to be very humble also. And when you look at a lot of people who are constantly doing things to get external validation, people say it is red flag, all of that. But when you go deep inside, what they're truly looking for is to be accepted and to be loved. They don't know a better way to show it out. The only way they know to show it out, some people come across as extremely arrogant. Oh, they act very pricey and cocky, right? A lot of superiority complex and all of that. It is all a cover up for them feeling not good enough on the inside. And they don't want anybody on the outside to see that inside them. So this is a fake facade that they put outside saying, listen, you stand there, you don't come inside. Because you come inside, you get to know what a mess I am.
My God. And again, talking about the situations, we get to see that one person, a girl, is getting, you know, falling in love with a person and finding that the relationship did not work out falling in love with another person and again the relationship is not working out, sometimes, you know, leading to divorce and again getting married again and again leading to divorce. I mean, the society always points out that, I mean, you know, there's some problem with the girl.
Yeah.
But I somehow feel that nobody would consciously want a divorce in their life.
Yes.
I mean, to that extent.
Yes.
Falling out of love is something different, but getting a divorce, where do you think is, you know, something in their mind, in their life, some kind of healing, or what is, are they always attracted to the wrong person?
Till you heal what is there inside of you, the universe is going to constantly keep giving you signals. Because the universe's only job is to get you back into alignment. When I say get you back into alignment, it means get you back into your core space of you understanding how amazing and worthy you are. So if you are in different relationships, but repeating the same patterns, and the relationship is getting called off, you're breaking up, you're going through a divorce, it's the same thing. The universe does not understand what is divorce, what is breaking up. It is just departing from a specific person. Now you got to ask yourself, if the patterns are repeating again and again, the only answer is you've not learned the lesson. And most of the lessons in any relationship not working out for somebody is their inability to love themselves. So when you are getting into a relationship, ask yourself, am I getting into this relationship because I enjoy the companionship, or am I getting into this relationship because I want to fill a void that is there inside of me? I'll give you an example. Let's say you're starving and somebody told you, Debina, you don't know how to cook, you can't cook, so you've believed about yourself that you can't cook. You've been starving for 4 days. A person walks into your life and they give you a piece of bread. You're like, thank God, I've not eaten bread. You start to eat that. And you'll be so grateful for the person. The person walks into your life a couple of days from then and they give you half a slice of bread. You're still happy, you eat that. Now the person sees that you don't know how to cook and you're at the mercy of the other person to give you the bread. The fourth day or the fifth day, the person will come and give you bread crumbs. And you will still settle for that because you believe you don't have the ability to cook for yourself. This is an analogy for you believing you don't have the ability to love yourself. We all eat only when we are hungry, when our stomach is empty. If you don't fill your own heart with your own love, telling yourself I'm amazing, you're constantly going to look out for people to fill that void inside of you. And you need to understand any kind of an external love that comes from the outside, it's like filling into a bucket with a hole at the bottom. No matter how much love comes in, it's going to feel empty. That is why in so many relationships, the spouse or the partner could be doing multiple things for the partner, but they'll never feel like I feel loved in the relationship. They always feel like something is missing. The something is missing has got nothing to do with the other person. The something is missing is because you don't love yourself. You don't really like yourself. So no matter how much the other person does, it's never going to feel enough for you. And when you feel enough by yourself, and when you enter a relationship from that mind space and heart space, I'm amazing, I'm enough, being with this person makes my life even more beautiful and nurturing, that relationship will change everything for you. Because that is the first time you're not needing the other person to love you, but you're in that relationship because the relationship feels beautiful just the way it is.
If a person is watching this podcast at this moment, and if you have to give them like a crash course of feeling complete within themselves in whichever way you could.
Yes. The first thing is don't decide or don't give anything on the outside enough importance as much as you give to yourself. The second thing is sit with yourself and feel the discomfort you're feeling. Unfortunately, a lot of people misunderstand what self-love is. They think getting a facial done, going for a massage, going for this, that, all of that is great. That is not self-love. Self-love is your ability to sit with yourself without any distractions. Just sit with the discomfort, whatever is coming up, all those emotions. Now with the amount of distractions that we have, it's so much more easier for people to drink it away, to sit and watch Netflix, to sit and chill with friends, because you're distracting yourself from looking at what is going on the inside. It is like brushing away all the dirt under the carpet and saying, oh my God, my house is clean. After a few days, it is going to stink because it is still inside. So when you have this ability to just sit with yourself, not do anything and feel so good about yourself, that is where you truly understand and know that you've reached a point where you're not ashamed about yourself. you're not feeling less about yourself. In the process, what would truly work is one is affirmations. No matter how mechanical or robotic it might feel in the first few days, start telling yourself, I love myself unconditionally. I deserve love. I deserve to feel that unconditional love in my life. Start telling all of these to you. The second thing, one of the most powerful exercises that I did for myself, for me to start to fall in love with myself, is a mirror exercise. Every day, for the longest time, I stood in front of the mirror, looked at myself in the eye, and said absolutely nothing. For the first few days, I used to just tear up and cry so badly, because every time I looked at myself in the mirror in the past, I would not see any parts of my body because I never loved myself. That was the first time I looked at myself, did not criticize myself, just looked at me, and after two minutes, I just said, I love you. This is the best connection you can build with yourself. You are going to be with you from the time of birth to the time of death. If you don't build a great relationship with yourself, if you can't be comfortable with yourself, you will never be comfortable anywhere else.
How amazingly beautiful. So I think I got kind of all the answers and all the answers that I could get for somebody else, like speaking on behalf of other people. And I will not let you go without doing five affirmations.
Right.
Like general affirmations. I mean, I am happy and I am satisfied. Yet there are so many people who feel happy and satisfied. They do not recognize. I mean, obviously, since you have pointed out a lot of things, I do introspect and see the points of correction.
Yes.
But apparently, if I am happy, if I'm settled, if I know your positive affirmations can take me to even higher places than here.
Yeah.
So I want some five affirmations, which I will repeat after you.
Perfect.
And every day.
Okay,
from
perfect.
Hence.
We can start with, I deserve love.
I deserve love.
I am enough.
I am enough.
I'm worthy of who I am.
I'm worthy of who I am.
I am the abundant child of the universe.
I'm the abundant child of the universe.
Everything that is happening to me is happening for my highest good.
Everything that is happening to me is happening for my highest good.
I am living my life's purpose.
I'm living my life's purpose.
The universe is my best friend.
The universe is my best friend.
I'm always loved and taken care of.
I'm always loved and taken care of.
I love myself.
I love myself.
Yeah.
These words are so powerful.
Yeah, they are. They definitely are very powerful.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
We say a lot of things throughout the day.
Yeah.
But we say, I love you to our spouses, to our children. But I do feel that I don't remember when I said I love you to myself.
Yeah. And if you can start saying this to yourself every day, what will start to happen is you look at the world with a specific tinted glasses, right? So for the longest time, if you don't like yourself, you're going to look at the world with that glass and you're going to feel like nobody likes you. And you're going to constantly be working on multiple things so that other people can like you. When you do this enough number of times, when you've embodied all of this, now you're looking at the world with the lens of, I love myself, which means everybody loves me. So there's going to be more kindness, there's going to be more happiness, and you're going to be much more authentic in the process. Because we put a facade because we don't want other people to see who we are. But now when I love myself for who I am, there's no need for a facade or a mask. I mean, the shoulders have no burden, I feel so easy and happy, and I become authentic. And through this, when you are authentic, a lot of people will get inspired by you, they'll be more authentic. And that's the only way we raise the consciousness of this world.
Thank you so much. And I somehow feel the universe has a reason to conspire to make you meet the right person at the right time. And I met you for a reason. And we will make it work.
Oh, yes. It's so beautiful. I feel so blessed. I really feel so blessed because we have the opportunity to reach out to a lot of people, because a few hundred years back, not everybody had this kind of access to the information that we have right now. Now with technology and with all of these things, so many people have access to them understanding what their true potential is. Imagine if all of us, to one degree, we made that shift and we started to access our true potential and work from that space. The world will be such a beautiful place. And this is something I truly believe. The best gift you can do to do, sorry, I'll repeat that. The best gift you can do to the world is showing them what change looks like.
And if the change can be within yourself.
That's it.
Oh my God.
That's it.
How beautiful is this? And one example of somebody who has met you, whose life you have changed.
a lot of people. So because I do my sessions every month, I meet a lot of people. There's so many things that come as mails, that come as DMs for me saying, Gayatri, I've manifested this, I've manifested that, multiple things. I'm truly not interested in what they've manifested. I'm only interested in the person that they've become in the process. Because every manifestation was only a byproduct of them understanding their true potential. Them coming from a space of, nothing is missing in me. Nothing is wrong with me. I'm just amazing that the way I am. Because they start to embody this belief because of the perception shift that they've had, their entire life starts to change. And that is intangible, but for me, that is the most precious thing. When people come to me and say, Gayatri, I feel like a completely different person. That's it. I feel like at one point of time when I was broke, both like in all aspects of my life, I truly had my mentors who helped me get to this point. So I always tell myself, if my mentors did not live their life's purpose, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. So it is my moral responsibility to live my life's purpose so that a lot of people can become inspired in this journey and they can inspire the world to do the same.
How truly you have kind of, I mean, I think both our purpose is similar at this moment.
Yes.
The way, I mean, when you see or listen to this podcast, I'm sure you will feel that it has brought about a change in you. And when you meet me in the streets or you write to me, I feel the same way that I have in any way, help you in navigating your life during your difficult times. And that itself is more than enough. And on this note, I'm ending this video. So happy, so satisfied, with so much of fulfillment. And if you felt the same, don't forget to like, share and subscribe to The Debina Bonnerjee Show.
The Debina Bonnerjee Show, brought to you by Pegboard.